Let us now turn to God's holy word for our instruction. We turn to the Psalm 32. The Psalm 32. This is the word of Almighty God, the infallible, inerrant, inspired, holy word. May the Lord give us ears to hear his word and hearts to receive it. The Psalm of David. Masculine. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely, in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bitten bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Amen. This is God's holy word. And may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his sacred word. Dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention to those words which I read to you in your hearing a moment ago there as we read the Psalm 32, and I wish with the Lord's enabling to take the verse 7 for my text this evening of the Psalm 32 and to think upon the initial part of that verse, and then we're going to, God willing, look in another part of Scripture and apply these truths. The verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Just a few things by way of introduction regarding this psalm. It seems to me that this is one of the seven penitential psalms that we find. The Psalm 6 would be perhaps the first, the Psalm 32, then the Psalm 38, and then the Psalm 51, the Psalm 102, the Psalm 103, and then finally the Psalm 143. Those psalms of repentance and trust in the Lord. Now, scholars are not quite clear as to when perhaps David, by the Spirit of God, was moved to pen these words, but we know this for sure: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is God speaking through the psalmist, and what we have is the experience of him being restored unto the Lord. Some suggest that this was the time of David's conversion. We don't know that for sure. That is a possibility. Some suggest it was written at the end of his life, when he surveyed, and he could say there in 2 Samuel, But it wasn't so with his house. But the Lord had ordered for him a covenant, ordered and sure in all things. When he surveyed his life, he looked back and saw the mercy of the Lord. And perhaps now he's reflecting back to that day of mercy when he cried out unto the Lord. That's perhaps in view. Some say it could be that time when he sinned against Bathsheba, that awful, that dreadful sin. All these things are a possibility. I wouldn't wish to be dogmatic on any of those tonight. But nonetheless, here is a psalm, and we're told maskil. The word there really means instruction, and it's full of instruction, this psalm. And really, it touches on the blessedness of being forgiven, the blessedness of the soul that has been forgiven with God. And there's no better thing to know forgiveness with God. Very often in the open air ministry, I address sinners that way, ask them whether they have been forgiven of God. Do they know that they have assurance of everlasting life? Has God the Holy Spirit confirmed to their own souls that they are forgiven? I never forget the day that I knew I was saved. The Lord made me to know and to feel my sin, but also the blessed reality that Christ had died for my sins. And as I began to repent, I needed to repent of my repenting, for I wasn't repenting as I ought to have, but slowly the Lord drew all of that sin for me to confess it before him. And as David here, all the day was a roaring before the Lord. I remember it was a number of weeks as I began to repent and to find forgiveness with the Lord. Then the Lord gave me that peace and that assurance that he had forgiven me, that Christ had died for me. It's the gift of God. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Not every man's sins will be forgiven. Not everyone is the Lord's. The Psalm 65, we're reminded, blessed is the man whom the Lord chooses to approach unto him. We would never approach to God were it not of him working in us. And so, if we've come to hear the word of God, that ought to be an encouragement. But do not be content with merely hearing the word of God. The Lord Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And God gives us a heart to repent. We pray that he might continue to work in hearts even here this evening. So we see, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And then you'll notice in the verse 5 to 7, he recalls what happened before he was forgiven. He says in the verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Oh, how wonderful it is when sinners leave a place where they are convicted by the Spirit of God and they are determined by the grace of God in their hearts to go before God and to get down on their knees and to seek the Lord for that forgiveness. And how we long to see that in great abundance in this our land. And then you'll notice in the verse 8 to the verse 11, David here by the Spirit tells what follows that forgiveness. And it's actually God speaking. It's an amazing section in the psalm. This is what follows. The Lord gives a promise. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord Mercy shall compass him about. Be ye glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, and all ye that are upright in heart." Now, in one sense, David is speaking in this psalm, and we could say David will instruct us, as it is God's word, but ultimately isn't the word from God. And God instructs us when he saves us, when he converts us in the way that we should go. We wonder, how will we begin the Christian life? But you see, God doesn't just forgive us and leave us there. He instructs us in the way that we should go in life. And we thank the Lord that his word is full of these promises. Now, I want to think here tonight on the verse 7, where David, here he's speaking to God and says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." And then you see you have the verse 8, "I will instruct thee." As David commits himself to the Lord and says, the Lord is his hiding place. And then the Lord says, "I will instruct thee." Now, the Hebrew word here for hiding place is the word setha, or setha it's pronounced. And it really means a covert, a place of refuge. And we read there in the Psalm 119, the verse 14, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I will hope in thy word." The psalmist there is looking to the Lord and saying, "Thou art my hiding place." And we ask the question, what is it that David needs to hide from? Well, God's wrath that is to come. But he has provided a hiding place. He has provided a hiding place in the Lord Jesus. We'll see, God willing, this evening from Isaiah chapter 32 that a man shall be a hiding place. It was foreordained that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the hiding place of sinners. God is a God of wrath, a God of vengeance, and we have sinned against Almighty God. And God himself becomes our hiding place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because sin is an offense to God, and it's an affront to God, isn't it? All sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The psalmist says God looks down from heaven to see if any do good. And he says, no, not one. All have gone aside. All have strayed. And therefore, we need a hiding place. We need a shelter from the storm. The great storm, the great blast of judgment day is coming. You see, the consequence of sin is divine wrath coming upon this world. You know, we're reminded throughout the Word of God that he is angry with sinners every day. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And therefore, we need to find peace with God. But you see, he makes peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. So why is he angry? Because of sin. Galatians 3:10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Dear friends, do we realize as we come into this world, we're under the curse? We have the moral law written upon the very fabric of our souls. Romans 2:14 and 15. "Our consciences accusing us or else excusing us." People know that they're sinners. But they measure themselves up against each other and they say, "Well, you know, I'm not as bad as him or as bad as her." But friends, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all are under the curse, for we have not performed the law of God. And there is coming a day of wrath. You only have to read Revelation chapter 6, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come upon the clouds of heaven. We read there that the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman and everyone will hide themselves in the dens and in the caves and in the rocks and in the mountains. And there will be no place to hide for the wrath of the Lamb is come. Do you know what? When hell begins, there's more wrath to come. When 1,000 years, if we could even measure time in eternity, it's only just begun. There's more wrath to come. This is why we warn sinners to repent, to seek the Lord while he may be found. The writer to the Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, speaks of Christians as those who have fled to Christ for refuge and found him to be the great hiding place. Now, if you will, we'll spend the rest of our time and refer back to the verse 7 where David says here, "The Lord, thou art my hiding place." We'll turn to Isaiah 32. And I want you to see here who David's hiding place was. This is written many years after, but coming, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 32 in the verse 1. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Now notice verse 2, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and as a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken." Well, this is the wonderful Savior we want to speak about, this Lord Jesus Christ, who is the hiding place of his people. And as David says here, "Thou art my hiding place." This glorious King, and a man shall be his hiding place. And notice, "And behold, a king." This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. The one who had pressed upon his brow that crown of thorns, who is now crowned in glory. He is a king, the everlasting king. There's no other man but Christ. He is speaking to him. He is the one also, as Isaiah refers to, as a nail in a sure place. This one who we can trust in. This one who was David's hiding place. Do you remember when David was in the cave of Adullam in 1 Samuel 22? And we read of the many there that went to David that were distressed. Everyone we read in distress, everyone in debt, everyone discontented, gathered themselves to him. In this life, the Lord Jesus, let me say, is our hiding place. Because in this life, he is the one that deals with our great debt of sin. David there, as I said, is a wonderful type of our Lord Jesus. Over 400 men gathered there in that cave to be with him. And you think of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he gathered people together, great sinners, and yet they left him rejoicing. How he gave them new hearts. How he deals with our debt, the debt of sin that we owe to God. We read of David here, there in Samuel, 1 Samuel 22, how he comforted the discontented. And that is who the Lord Jesus is for us. There were many times David himself was discontented, but he could say, "The Lord is my hiding place." He was hiding in the Lord, trusting in him, knowing that he would order everything, that he would bring in a righteousness for him. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ does for sinners. He earns a righteousness in this world for his people. That is why Jeremiah calls him and says of him, he is the Lord our righteousness. And in that we have our debt dealt with. Everyone discontented, he brings us peace in this life. And he gathers his sheep to his fold. And a man shall be a hiding place. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. And a man shall be as an hiding place. Think of this prophecy spoken some 700 years before Christ's coming, but yet all true of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it might have seemed very strange to people here in the Old Testament, these readers, as a man being a hiding place, but God in the very person of his Son. Again, the Psalm 119, the verse 114, thou art my hiding place. How did he become our hiding place? Well, he's only the hiding place for the Christian. Because as I said, he came into this world and he lived the life that I should have lived and that you should have lived. And then he died in the stead of his people. So the wrath of God could never fall, as it were, on the dear Savior. And if we're in Christ, which is biblical language, you see, we come into this world in Adam, our federal head. But if we're in Christ, we hide in him. And we're safe in him because he bore that infinite wrath. There at the cross, we read, don't we, in Romans, that God spared not his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all, for all of his people, so that he would become their hiding place. I'm sure you've heard that story of the Indians, the Red Indians in America, against the Westerners when the early settlers went out there and there was a great fire in the forest. Fire all around. And they needed to take refuge to a safe spot. Fire was all around. So what could they do? They could only run to where the fire had been. And in a sense, that's what the Christian does. He runs to the one who has borne the infinite wrath of Almighty God for them. He has become their hiding place. In order to, you see, save sinners, he had to become bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh, in order to be our hiding place. And a man shall be for an hiding place, a shelter from the storm. What a blessed Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are three things here. Just notice in this text here in Isaiah, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. Many times in the scripture, this term wind describes trials of life, difficulties in life. For instance, in Psalm 55 in the verse 3, when David is speaking of his enemies and trials, he speaks in this wise. He says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. And then he says in the verse 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. We speak of the tempests of life. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. He hides us in the winds of this life. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We can always run to Christ. Have you suffered? Have you been greatly afflicted in this world? Have you suffered heartache and hardship that you cannot tell anybody? I wonder if you have. Well, I tell you, he's the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he already knows what you and I have endured in this life. He knows everything about us. There's nothing that we can hide from him. There's nothing we can tell him that he doesn't know about us. And he's the friend of sinners. Sinners who will come and repent of their sin, hiding in the winds of life. What a blessed thing it is to have a friend in need. So often friends forsake us, don't they? And when all goes wrong, and even perhaps when we've sinned against them, they don't want to know us. But this Lord will never reject us. He will never hide himself from us. Rather, he says in Song of Solomon, "Oh, my dove, let me see thy face. Hide in the cleft of the rock." He is the cleft of the rock. He is that great picture of the cave of Adullam. And in this stormy wind of life, dear friends, we have one we can run to and tell him all of our troubles, all of our past, all the sins. He knows them all. He says, "Let me hear your voice." And he calls his people his dove. Well, what a hiding place he is. David in the Psalm 32, as he has been telling us about how he poured out his heart to the Lord, says in the verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble." And the Lord will, if we commit our ways to him, and if we seek to know what he would have us go. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Can you say tonight, "The Lord is my hiding place"? I know this world is a world of trouble, a world of woe and difficulty, but I know what it is to hide in God, to trust in him. Each day as I live, I walk by faith in the Son of God. Well, he was David's hiding place. He is that spiritual rock which Paul speaks about, doesn't he, in 1 Corinthians 10, that rock which followed them in the wilderness. Do you remember how Moses there and the people were fed, over 2 million people were fed for some 40 years in the wilderness? By this rock, Paul says, they drank from that spiritual rock, and he says, that rock was Christ. And no good thing will he withhold from you, dear friend, if you seek to hide in him. But you must come, as David the psalmist here, confessing sin. We can't hide sin from him. He'll be our judge on that great and awful day. Sin will be revealed, but his people confess their sin to him. "Thou art my hiding place." Again in Psalm 27 and the verse 5, David says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." And dear friends, that rock is Christ. He is the rock of offense to many, the stone of a stumbling, but he is the rock of our salvation. And God hides us, the Father hides us in his Son. And Christians are safe in Christ through all the adversities of life. No good thing will he withhold from us. He will bless us all of our journey. How happy are they whose God is the Lord. Shall not want anything. My dear friends, people will let you down, and people will, and people will do awful things to us in this world and say all manner of things, but God is faithful, and he is good, and he can never do wrong, and he will love us even to the end. This hiding place died for his people's sins. Do you think he will withhold anything good for you if you are his? No, he won't. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, dear friends, he is the one who has words of eternal life. Nobody else. Remember when Peter was there with the disciples in John 6, and many, we're told, of the disciples followed him no more? And Peter said, or the Lord rather said to him, "Will you deny me also?" Peter said, "Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." The Son of God, Peter says, "And we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." God sent his Son, the hiding place. We sing in that hymn, don't we? "O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrow should fly, so sinful, so weary. Thine would I be, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I've fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often, when trials like sea billows roll, I've hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul." And my dear friends, there's no better person to draw near to than Christ, because he is the one mediator between God and man. And we must hide in him or forever be lost. Forever be lost. "Cursed is the man," says the scriptures, "that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." Oh, dear friends, tarry no longer. Seek this hiding place. Secondly, he's a covert from the tempest. And a man, notice there in Isaiah 32, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest." What is this tempest? Well, we've said already, this signifies the great wrath of God. Your sin, your little lies, your big lies, all these things will be judged before the great bar of God. We read in the book of the Revelation that the books will be opened up. And men shall be judged for their works, every sin, but those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will enter into a glorious heaven to be with God forever. How are their names there? By grace. And how do you identify them in this life? Well, they've hidden in Christ. They've lived by Christ. They've walked by Christ. He has been their hiding place. Now, you may come along to chapel, and you may know many things even of the Bible. But do you know this one thing that David knew? The Lord is my hiding place. That's where we need to be. And that's the only place we are safe. Because the great blast of God's judgment is coming. The scriptures say it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Don't think somehow because some people are worse than you that you'll not be judged. All have sinned, and all have come short of God's glory. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We read in the Psalm 11, the verse 6, "Upon the wicked shall he rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest." That's the tempest which Isaiah 32 is speaking of. "This shall be the portion of their cup," says the Lord. But you see, a man shall be a hiding place in that day. What a wonderful day that will be for God's people. And a man shall be for a hiding place. Oh, he took the wrath of God. There's that lovely hymn by Anne Ross Cousin. Oh, Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Thank the Lord for this hiding place. And you see, he's not only going to hide us from that great, awful judgment of Almighty God, because he must judge sin, but we can hide in him now. We can tell him all of our troubles. He will guide us even unto death. He will be our friend, not our foe. He will do us good, and he will continue to be our hiding place, because God does not change. He will never stop being the hiding place of his people. Even in eternity, we will need a righteousness. Although we will be made like him, our sins nonetheless are paid by him who became our hiding place. He is forever the Lord, our righteousness. He is forever our hiding place. He is the Lord who does not change. You know, there are many people who mock God's judgment, who make a mock of sin. Proverbs tells us fools make a mock of sin. That is, they play down sin. My friend, do not play down sin. If you play down sin, go in your mind's eye to Calvary. And see that God did not spare his son when he was bearing his people's sin and being put to death for them. God spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. That is, all who will believe. And therefore, if God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the apostle reminds us, the apostle Paul says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? He says, for Christ has died. He's borne that wrath. What a hiding place we have. But do you know that to be your hiding place now? And friend, it's so important to know that, because we just do not know what a day brings forth. Nobody is ever arm wrestled or pressured into the kingdom of heaven. But my Bible says, seek the Lord now while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. See that you have no righteousness before God. See that only Christ has righteousness. See that only he pleased the Father. And may you be as David. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How do we know our sins are covered? I tell you this, if we know forgiveness in our hearts. And you know, if we know forgiveness in our hearts, there's going to be something present. The Psalm 130, the verse 4 says, there is mercy with the Lord that he may be feared. To fear God is to love God. It's a filial fear. To know God, as one man put it, is to fear God. That's to respect him, to hold him in high esteem and awe. To know God is to fear God. To fear God is to obey God. And to obey God is to love God. You cannot say that you're in this hiding place if you don't know the fear of the Lord, if you don't hold him in respect, if you're not thankful to him for what he has done. The soul that is truly saved is like David, who boasts only in the Lord. He is my hiding place. He is the only one I trust. I don't trust in my righteousness, for I have none. I have nothing to commend myself before an infinitely holy God. My dear friends, let me say this. We are what we are, even as unsaved people. All the seeds of sin are in the heart. But you could be far worse than you are, as other people are in this world. Never take pride in who you are. There are many people in this world who look at others and they say, I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as her. I've never done this. I've never done that. And therefore they take some comfort in that. What a foolish notion to measure ourselves up against other people. There is only one we can take refuge in, and that is the Lord Jesus. You have sinned as I have sinned. And my only refuge tonight is David's refuge, the Lord my hiding place. And if you know not him, I urge you to give your soul no rest till you find him to be your hiding place. And only God can do that. The human heart is like granite. It's hard, and it will never change unless God melts that heart. So you pray the Lord might change your heart and bring you to that place of repentance and faith. We read of this rock that is a shadow in a weary land. And let me tell you, that rock never changes. The Lord Jesus is the eternal rock of ages. And I was just saying to somebody today, look at the houses around here. Many of them are built with granite rocks. And how they seem to outlast all these brick homes and everything else that's made. The rock. But you think of this rock of ages, who never changes. Sinners that come unto him, he will by no means cast out. But there is coming a day that he will not be the hiding place. But he will be judge. James says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and able to destroy. And it's this rock of ages. He is our hiding place in this life. If he is, he'll be our hiding place for that which is to come. But if he's not, as Paul tells us and Isaiah says, he will be that rock which will crush us to powder. May the Lord, by his grace, bring us to repentance and faith. And may we be able to sing, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. He'll hide you now. There's a time in the judgment. He'll hide his people. He'll put them to one side, the lost on the other. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting destruction. May we find him to be our hiding place, even now. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us. Amen. O gracious Lord and Father, we thank thee for thy dear Son, that blessed hiding place. We pray that thou might be pleased to make people willing now in the day of thy power. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? But we know that our God is able to do great things, able to put a new heart into a person and make them born again in Christ Jesus, that they should take refuge in the rock of ages. And we bless thee, Father, for thy day and all that we've been able to hear. Forgive that which is amiss, and we pray that thou would crown thy dear Son with his word. May glory and honor be to him, and praise, everlasting praise, be to the Lamb. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.